Welcome to the Married With Channels podcast, featuring myself, the husband Moose, and the wife.
I'm Jody.
Jody.
Hey.
This is a podcast with a married couple discussing TV shows. TV shows we watch and TV shows we don't watch, but sometimes we will watch it. This is episode one.
I'm not watching it.
This is the very first one, Jody. Don't ruin it.
I'm not watching that crap. You can watch that crap.
You're not watching what crap?
I'm only watching what I want to watch. What I have time for. So we don't have a lot of time. Let's just say that.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll watch what I tell you to watch.
My time is valuable.
So today we're going to talk about Game of Thrones, episode one of season eight, Waterfell. What is it?
I don't know.
Winterfell. That's the name of the episode.
Okay. I don't retain geeky details like what episode, what season, what the episode name is.
So what do you want to talk about with Game of Thrones? I will just say that it was a really good episode. And I like that they harken back to the first ever episode of Game of Thrones right from the top.
Okay. So I got into the Game of Thrones game, pun intended, a little late. My first episode of Game of Thrones was The Red Wedding. So that's where I jumped in watching the series.
That's like jumping into a speedboat from a helicopter while the speedboat's going 80 miles an hour.
Sweet.
I mean, that's great, but you could land on the water and break your neck.
But I didn't.
It won't break your neck.
I was hooked after that. I was like, what is this?
What is this magic?
Oh, my goodness.
But you did catch up, though. Right?
I never went back and rewatched. No. Oh. I just kept saying, who's that guy, annoyingly, to you while we watched? What's that guy's name? Who's he to that person, you know, or who's she, you know? And so you kind of gave me the Cliff Notes version of who people were.
Yeah, a little bit. I forgot about that. But I, like a good husband, I paused it and I told you. Sometimes I'd get a little annoyed, but we got you caught up.
Yeah.
But anyway, it harkens back to the first episode. Just briefly, I'll mention in the first episode, Arya, who's about that little boy's age. Remember, he's climbing, trying to find a look and view of Daenerys and Jon Snow.
Sure.
And the army and all that.
Sure.
She did that in the first episode when Robert Baratheon was coming into Winterfell.
Okay, they had a big parade for him.
Yeah, he was coming in and he had all the troops and Cersei was there back before. She was a major bitch. And she was trying to find a spot to see all the action.
Gotcha.
So they threw back to that a little bit. Then they ended kind of on a throwback, pun intended, with Jaime coming into Winterfell. And he and Bran looked at each other.
Yeah, I couldn't tell if that was a look of surprise or maybe guilt. I couldn't quite read his face there on what he's thinking there. But, you know, Bran's not the same. I don't know if he'll find that out or if he's going to try and cause him harm. I'm not sure where he's going to go with that.
You know what's sad is when they first started looking at each other, I was thinking, oh, Bran's warging or something. He's doing something three-eyed raven-like. But then it took me a day. I was like, oh, wait, that's the guy who threw him out the window.
Yeah, he that's already knows that, what happened to him.
That's why that look is so important. Yeah, just duh.
Yeah. I'm, you know, as much time has passed and as much as these kids have grown up, you know, even on the show, the actors themselves, you look back to what they look like in the beginning, they've grown up, they've changed, their looks have changed, their facial features have changed. I guess, though, people are pretty distinguishable. But if you saw somebody's kid and you didn't see him for 5, 10 years. I don't know how much time has passed here, but I would think that sometimes you wouldn't recognize them. But everybody seems to recognize everyone, even though they haven't seen each other for a really long time.
Yeah, I don't know how big Westeros is. It seems like it's about 4 Earths size. But so they had that little look, and that ended the episode. But we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
But the episode was really strong, I thought. They set up a lot. They got right into the moving pieces. The interesting thing for me, as you know, on the radio show, my co-host mom does a thing called the Game of Thrones A-Hole of the Week. And you know who she picked this week?
Who?
Cersei.
Really?
Yeah.
That wasn't my pick.
That wasn't my pick. Mine was Daenerys.
Oh.
Because, and we'll get to yours in a second.
Okay.
But because she went down into the, we'll say, library with Jorah Mormont.
Yeah.
Just to say to Samwell, hey, thanks for saving my bro.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. He's all better now because of you, and you defied everybody. You're so great. You need anything, let me know. Could you pardon me? Oh, for what? And then it gets into the whole, like, yeah, I killed your father. Starts sobbing a little bit. Well, at least me brother's okay. Yeah, about that. About your brother. Killed him, too.
Yeah, she's pretty ruthless when it comes to loyalty. Like, you have to bend the knee to her. Or she kills people, you know?
But the way I think she's the a-hole is because, that's not the time and place for that. You went down there just to pat him on the back and say thanks. You know, at least pause on that whole, like, killed your father thing. And, maybe come back to it later. Maybe send an email out later saying, hey, I want to talk to you about something I forgot about this morning in the library.
Does she know Sam?
I don't think so.
She doesn't know, like, his relationship with John or anything like that.
I'm sure she knows something of that relationship.
I don't know. Those two haven't taken the time to get to know each other. They've just hopped in bed. Yeah.
Just porked on a sailboat.
Yeah, they don't even know that they're related yet.
Wait, they're related?
Spoiler.
Oh, yeah. So who was your a-hole?
I gotta go with...
And we're not stealing the bit from my show. I just wanted to point that out.
I didn't listen to that anyway.
Yeah, so it doesn't
count.
Sorry,
I love you. So supportive of your career during
Thanks.
The day.
No, who are you going to say?
It's Yara and Theon's cousin, is it? What's his name?
Oh, Euron.
Euron.
The guy who was humped Cersei.
Yes.
And said, I'm going to put a prince in your belly.
Yes.
That's
Here's
pimp,
why.
By the way. I'm going to put a
Here's...
prince in that belly.
Here's why I think that, like, this whole kind of game is set up on family. Family is kind of everything. The Stark family is fighting for what they think is theirs. The Targaryen family, the Lannister family, like, they are well-known, prominent families. Everybody is like, my family is going to be the winner, okay? And he's totally going against that. Like, he's kind of joining the other side in that way. Like, he's teaming up with the Lannisters. He's going against his own Greyjoy family and their fleet of boats and ships and the Gold Army? Golden Army?
Yeah, Golden Army, yeah. I think is what
Which
it's
we
called.
Just saw, right? Have they been in any other episode? I'm like, where is this army? Where have all these people been this whole time?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't think we've seen them before.
Okay.
This was it.
That was just kind of random and weird.
So you like Euron as the a-hole?
I think so, yeah.
The asshole of the week?
Totally.
Can use potty mouth on podcasts. So fucking great.
Yeah.
I'm not on radio today,
but
right now.
Should we?
No, probably not.
Not as accessible.
You know, whenever you can avoid it, you should. Yeah. But sometimes it's necessary.
Use it effectively. How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With prudence.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, yeah, Euron I could see being the a-hole. The problem with that bit is you get into a thing where you could theoretically name the same two people.
Yeah, you could.
Cersei, Euron.
Yeah, because the bad people are just going to keep getting worse, right?
Right. Like, if Tywin was still alive, you could say him.
Yeah.
Because like, he's always was always an a-hole.
You know, it's about the power and, you know, you have to do some pretty vile things to people to get that level of power. Somebody's always going to want that, you know, from you.
What did we think of the Sansa cold shoulder to Daenerys?
I think she's smart. She has a good people.
She's gotten smart, hasn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah, she's got a good... I think, honestly, I pick her as the winner of all. I don't know why.
Sansa?
Yeah. She's smart enough. She sees a kind of a futuristic vision. She kind of looks at everybody for what they really are, which a lot of times is just snakes in the grass, you know. But she's cunning enough to see that kind of coming. And, you know, family is still important to her. Like, she's kind of I think, the dark horse in this race, you know?
And she's a lethal weapon in that I think she's gone through a lot. She started out, remember Sansa was just like this kind of princessy, like, ooh, bugs on my shoulder type
of
thing.
Yeah, like she was born and bred to be a lady of the court type thing.
Yeah, go marry somebody in this kingdom so that we can combine our territories sort of thing. But she has gone through quite a bit of, oh my God, rape, a horrible husband, you know, being sold and shipped off, and I think somebody whooped her ass a couple times. Maybe Ramsay Bolton also. Boy, he was bad.
Yeah.
But I think she's a lethal weapon in that she's been through the ringer. She's seen a lot of shit, and she's not only stronger for it, but it seems like she's learned from it. Like that line she threw out to when she walked away from Tyrion, which was like, I used to think you weren't naive.
I used to think you were the most clever man in the world
Something
like that. Yeah.
And that was like, ooh.
Yeah.
And I think even Tyrion was like, oh.
Well, because she's saying, I'm smart enough to see you're going to take Cersei for her word. Are you kidding me? Like, what's wrong with you people? Yeah.
What's interesting on that tip is Jaime's now in town.
Yeah.
So they could take his word for what it's worth. But I imagine he's going to tell them Cersei's getting the Golden Army and she's going to let the Night King kill everybody and mop up whoever's left with the Golden Army.
What?
Okay. But they'll probably be like, wait, okay, you're Jaime Lannister. Okay, we believe you, not.
Yeah, so tell me why he, refresh my memory, like why he turned against her, because they were all lovey-dovey and then they're having this baby together and now baby daddy's like, peace, I'm out. I'm going against you. Why?
I think it stems from the, when they presented the white to everybody.
Oh,
remember,
yeah.
Remember that, yeah, you know, yeah. They brought the...
The walker, yeah.
Yeah. And dumped him out. And I think that scared the shit out of Jaime. And it put a face, so to speak, on what's actually going down. Like, because remember, up until that point, nobody but Jon Snow, a couple Night's Watch... knew or even believed in White Walkers.
Sure, they were just kind of a fairy tale.
Yeah,
that
it was
told
like
stories about
urban legend. Yeah. But then all of a sudden, the Hound puts the crate down and kicks it over, and that son of a bitch comes running after him. I think Jaime Lannister is like, "This is real.
Like, we gotta need to do something about this.
This is gonna happen."
Yeah, and she pretty much said, "Forget it. Let them kill each other. We'll deal with what's left."
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Pretty much. And,
do you think that's kind of foolish thinking on her part? Kind of arrogant, or what's her end game there?
I think I don't know. I think she is. So I think she's no longer with child.
Really?
And I missed this when we watched it, but it was pointed out to me when Euron, got done porking.
Yeah.
A, she was drinking wine.
Yeah, but they did that.
And B.
Until the 50s.
Oh, yeah. But when she was, let's back up. When she told either Tyrion or Jaime that she was pregnant, I believe, and I don't remember this. This was told to me that she was offered wine, but refused it.
Mm.
And then soon after she, touched her belly and like, I got a baby. I'm pregnant.
Yeah. But now you think she's lost it.
But in Euron, the episode one of season eight, they just got done sexing and she's drinking wine.
Yeah.
And then when he patted her on the belly, Euron, and said, I'm going to put a prince in that belly. I didn't see it, but somebody told me she cried. There were tears there.
What?
Mm-hmm. So the thinking there, the motivation is she's not pregnant / miscarried.
Hmm.
Look out. She's got nothing to live for. So it's all about I'm going all in or not at all.
Yeah.
I think that's maybe a scorched earth attitude is where Cersei's coming from now. Hmm. She has no baby. All her kids are dead. You remember the one witch when she was kids said, you're going to have three
They're all gonna
golden
die.
Children and they're all going to die.
Yep.
And they all have died.
Yeah.
So I think Cersei's motivation is like, I don't have a kid to protect anymore.
Yeah.
I don't have children.
Which is interesting because that's kind of what Tyrion's argument was to Sansa. Like, she's got something to live for now. Like, yeah. She's with child, you know? And
yeah, but...
Like, you should believe her. And
but he doesn't know that... It's seemingly, anyway, that she is without child.
Also, like, I feel like they're missing a huge secret weapon that Sansa has, which is Bran's ability to see things. Like, can't he just look into the future and say how and who wins or, you know what I mean? Like,
I don't know if he can go into the future.
I think he can see everything, like past, present, and future. Isn't that what it said?
I'm not clear on that. I've only seen him go into the past.
Huh.
I don't think he can see the future.
Huh.
Because that would be inherently like what the Three-Eyed Raven can do. And I think that would have come up when they were talking about, you know, the old guy, Three-Eyed Raven, the Max von Sydow character.
Yeah.
You know, lives in the tree.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Roots or whatever.
Well, not anymore.
No. He did, right? The
Keebler elf that. Yeah.
Yeah. The Keebler elf guy.
Yeah.
So I think Cersei's like, fuck it. I'm going to try and be queen of everything and everybody else can go die. Or I'll die trying.
But she saw the walkers. Like, how does she think that they're going to survive that? And she's just going to hide out for like however long they're roaming the land?
I don't know. I think
she's going south where they can't go. Is that correct? There's like a point where they can't go.
You know, it seemed like the Iron Islands are probably safe because I don't believe they can go through water.
Okay. Right? So I was going to ask that. Can they go through water?
I don't think so because remember when they went up north to go capture one and they got surrounded by them?
Yeah.
I think they were the whites and the White Walkers were held up because of the water.
Okay.
Right? Weren't they on a big rock or mound of ice in the middle of a lake?
I mean, I thought so. And I thought that they could not go through water. So do you want my theory?
Oh, this is the big theory. Jody's got a big theory on your theories on the episode or the season.
Kind of like how I think this is going to play out with the walkers, the White Walkers.
Okay.
And just kind of the whole game in general, I guess.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so let's see. I haven't quite worked. I'm going to work this out as we talk about it.
Okay.
Okay, so the Starks are kind of the north, like the ice, like the cold, the wall, you know, Jon Snow's king of the north and the wall is there, the Night's Watch. And, you know, that's kind of the ice part of it. Daenerys has the dragons. That's the fire part of it. Fire and ice, you know. And I think that it's going to kind of become almost like a, not water world, but I think they're going to have to flood to survive.
Oh.
And so they've kind of aligned themselves with the right people. So like Yara and Theon have the fleet of ships.
Mm-hmm.
And Daenerys has the dragons to melt the ice. They flood the land, they get on the Greyjoy's ships, and they survive and go south, which I'm guessing is where Cersei's heading to, like the sand or Dorne or like the sandy desert place, you know.
Where the red viper guy and
yeah. Yeah, I think. And I don't have a map. So yeah. I don't know like the layout of everything, but that's kind of my theory of how they're going to have to defeat the White Walkers is they're going to have to basically like destroy everything by flooding it and then fleeing in the boats.
Okay. Yeah, I mean that's a possibility. I could see that. I'm trying to think from a like writer producer perspective if that would. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, why not? What are they going to melt, though? The rest of the wall or?
Yeah, like everything frozen up there. I mean, he took her to his hunting grounds. I mean, it's all like a winter wonderland.
That would be a lot of passes with the dragon fire to get all that stuff to melt.
Yeah, but he's aerial. Like you can cover a lot more ground from above. And, you know, they've only breached one place, which is the wall.
Yeah. I mean, maybe. I don't know. I don't think it's going to end that way. Huh. I do think, though, that the White Walker Night King battle is going to come sooner rather than later in the season. I think there's going to be a big, you know, showdown between, you know, the dead, we'll call it, and our heroes. And I think it's going to take place probably episode 3 or 4.
Hmm.
And I think the final two episodes is going to be the real battle, which is Cersei versus Cersei. Cersei? Cersei. 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 Say, say.
No.
Remember that Paul McCartney, Michael Jackson song? God, it was horrible.
Yeah, I wish I did not remember that.
But so I think, yeah, then they're going to, it's going to be like, okay, we've essentially beat the dead. Now Cersei's going to be like, oh, they beat the dead. Whoops. Because it's going to be Cersei and her golden army versus everybody else. Because like everybody else is going to chip in with the North, Jon Snow, Daenerys, sure, because they want to fight the dead. They don't, sure, want to die.
Well, and they're the only ones that have figured out how with the dragon glass and the, I guess, well, they figured out Lannister, right, steel can too, right?
The who?
The Lannister steel.
Valyrian steel.
Valyrian steel. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you even watch this show,
Oh,
Jenny?
My God. Seriously.
No, there's a lot of things to remember and weird names.
My mom brain fried.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So I don't think the series is going to end. Like, so there's 6 episodes in this final season. I don't think episode 6 is going to be the big battle with the Night King and all his dead people. I don't think so.
I think, though, however that plays out, there's going to be a big cost. Like, the battle with the walkers is going to come at a cost. Like, main characters that you've grown to know and love, I think, will die.
Yeah.
You know?
No, there's going to be some people that you like go the way of the wild blue eye.
Yeah.
Oh, well, he's got blue eyes. I've always had blue eyes.
And also, like, once they kill them with dragon glass or Valyrian steel, they don't get reanimated, correct?
That's correct.
That's it? Once they're dead, they're dead?
Yes, and okay. I think the whites, which are like, we'll say the regular zombie soldiers.
Yeah.
I think once you kill one of the White Walkers, which is kind of the lieutenants, you know, with the long hair, yeah, and the, yeah, Night King. I think when you kill one of those guys, you kill a whole bunch of whites.
Yeah, whatever they're controlling, yeah.
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 I'm guessing those are the people they reanimated,
you know, who
converted.
You know who I think will be kind of an unsung hero in this?
Hmm.
I think Sam, with his knowledge that he got from the books at the Citadel. Because everyone believed these walkers to be fairy tale and in books and in stories, and Sam's read the books, so he, you know, history could probably tell a lot as to how what they tried in the past that didn't work or what did work. You know, maybe that's how they figured out the dragon glass, or maybe that was by chance. I'm not sure how that happened, but
yeah. I mean, maybe. Oh, now I was thinking, oh, what if he's like turned into a White Walker? That would be bummer, dude.
I think Sam will be key to, because he's kind of like, he's Jon's dude. Like,
oh, yeah.
You know, his right hand man. And,
sure.
And he is loyal to Jon and his best friend. So I think he's going to be key in getting Jon to be the rightful king as he was revealed to be, you know?
Yeah. And on that tip, how do you think Daenerys is going to take the news that, ooh, Jon is the one true king?
You know,
somebody was talking who said that, oh, she's going to be pissed. She's not going to let that happen.
Yeah, I'm not sure, because I can't tell if she really loves him or not. Can't tell if it's true love or if she's just using him because she needs to. Or because they need to fight together. You know what I mean? Like, he went to her for that purpose. And it's interesting because the sisters, his sisters, you know, are all like, oh, you're getting in too deep here, son. Like, yeah. Don't be pussy whipped with the dragon lady. We don't like her. You know, for some reason, we don't trust her because of her family history, you know?
Right.
So I can't tell if, you know, they're using each other because they have to fight together or if it's true love. I don't know. But it's weird that that's his aunt. I can't not think about that now. Like,
keep it in the family.
Yeah, like I was rooting for them. Like, oh, they're going to be the cutest couple ever. They're going to have little dragon babies and it's going to be amazing. And then you're like, oh, weird. That's just weird.
Yeah, it's weird. But like I think you said, is this is kind of, you know, it's a medieval type show.
Sure.
People are humping their sisters all the time and marrying their cousins. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, in the feudal system, they like married into the same bloodlines to keep them true bloodlines. Yeah, so they were true royals and true heirs. And
yeah, they didn't know back then about forearms and octopus tentacles when you make a baby with your cousin.
I don't know. It's just weird.
So I don't think that's as big of a deal with them. I think the concern mostly is going to be whether or not Daenerys is going to be essentially bend the knee to Jon.
Yeah, that's what she would have to do. I mean, she'd still have like a place in his world because she is also Targaryen royalty.
Yeah, she could be the queen.
Yeah.
I mean, it's your aunt. You're about the same age anyway.
Well, and they're already doing it, so they might as well get married. I mean, they don't have to do it in sin. I don't know what kind of religion they have, but
they have the East Des Moines religion.
No, it's like one prays to the Tree of Light, and I don't know. Worships dragons.
He doesn't pray to the Lord of Light.
I don't know.
That's not his thing. He got saved by somebody who's like a witch from the Lord of Light.
Oh, well, what do they do at that tree?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
What is that tree?
I don't know. It's like something special to them because they all go there and like meditate or reflect or something.
Is that a Stark thing?
I thought it was because I thought his mom talked about that. Their mom. What's her name? Something Stark?
Catelyn.
Catelyn. That's right. Not Caitlin. Yeah. Catelyn.
She got her neck cut.
Yeah.
At the Red
poor
Wedding.
Poor lady. She was nice. Her sister was weird, but.
Oh, yeah. So pretty, too.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Sure.
I don't want to bag on the actress. She's a good actress. Not the best to look at.
You know, that's perfect casting, though, because it's like she's not as pretty as Catelyn. She has her own kingdom, but it's not the kingdom, you know?
It made me wonder about, of course, remember her son when we first met him was breastfeeding on her?
Yes.
And he's about like 12, 13 years old.
Yeah.
So was that, you suppose that actor was, obviously he wasn't sucking on a real tit, but was that CGI? Do they put a prosthetic out there?
It's probably a nipple shield over it, is all.
It's probably prosthetic. Like, you can't put a nipple shield on an actress and say, okay, Robbie here's going to put his lips up there.
I don't know. This is Hollywood insider stuff that I am not privy to. I know how the real breastfeeding works.
How's that work, Jody?
You know,
put your lips on that nip and suck.
Okay, you make it seem weird. You just made it weird.
Oh, I mean, it's a beautiful, natural occurrence.
Yeah, those are to feed my babies when that's happening, not for your enjoyment.
Anything else from the episode?
Season
8, episode 1?
It
was nice to see Theon come and rescue Yara. Oh, there was a little cameo. I don't know if you caught it.
Okay.
I didn't catch it until someone showed it to me today.
Okay.
So when Theon got on the boat, and the first guy who got killed on the boat with the arrow coming through his eye, that was Rob McElhenney from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Not that we watched that show.
Sure, sure.
But just kind of an interesting tidbit. But I thought it was nice to see Theon actually stick to his word, because everybody was like, you know, he jumps off the boat and everybody's like, well, Yara's screwed.
They don't believe in him, but he has also been through the mud and the shit and gone through something really hard. And sometimes you can't underestimate those people, what they rise up to do, you know.
But that was fitting that she headbutted him and then helped him up.
I know, right? Like brotherly, sisterly thing.
Yeah.
Like,
thanks.
I'm going to pound you. I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, I'm not going to let you forget that you screwed up.
Right.
Blammo. But also, here's my hand.
Right.
You're my bro.
that's like, oh shit, I'm gonna beat your ass. You broke mom's lamp, but here, I'm gonna help you glue it back together.
But yeah, so didn't see a lot of, you know what about this episode that stood out for me is there's a lot of comedy beats. There's a lot of funny moments, and I don't know if that's good, bad, or...
I like it when they do that. It breaks up the seriousness of it, because you do kind of get wrapped up into the intensity of some situations, the sadness of some things, the love and romance, and so I like the comedy to break that up, and it's just funny, and it's just kind of characteristic of those people, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, there's a couple moments that I can remember, and this is Wednesday when we're recording this, so I've lost a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
But I do remember two comedic moments. One was, you know, when they're in the, is it the House of Hearth, where the little boy was stuck on the wall and, you know, he was the zombie.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know.
House of Unger. That's where he.
Oh.
Well, I don't know where they were for sure, but that's where the boy was from. And they called it in like House of Unger or something like that. And they're supposed to be here and go get your people. And so I don't know if that's where he ended up on the wall or somewhere in between there.
Sure.
And his homeland, you know.
But I think what stood out, it was the moment where, you know, they ran into their buddies. And they scared each other. And the one's like, he has blue eyes. And Tormund Giantsbane, the redhead guy, is like, I've always had blue eyes.
Yeah, that's great. He's a great character.
That was a comedic moment. And that kind of worked because he generally thought he was a White Walker because of his eyes or something. But the one that stood out is not really necessary and just seemed kind of like a forced comedic moment was when Tyrion and Lord Varys were on the coach coming into town and... Tyrion cracked the joke about, you know, not having balls.
Yeah.
And Lord Varys is like, why do you make fun of me not having balls? And he said, because I have balls.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just seemed a little too like, you know, Laurel and Hardy-ish.
Well, and I don't understand why that character's kind of still around.
Lord Varys?
Yeah, Varys. Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. He keeps like... flushing back up, you know.
But he's kind of one of those survivor guys. He's like bald Littlefinger.
Yeah.
But with less seemingly, you know, bad motivations.
Yeah, like he's trying to align himself with the right people, but he just kind of keeps popping up everywhere.
Yeah.
So he doesn't really have a home to call his own, I guess.
But there's another comedic moment. There's about three.
Yeah.
And I get it. You're right. It needs to break up some of the drama.
Yeah.
But I just thought it was a little too much.
Hmm.
If I can make one complaint.
Yeah. I guess I didn't notice it. It didn't stick out as much for me.
Okay.
In that way.
I guess I'm an idiot.
Well, no. I might have missed some of it, too.
Okay.
Let's see. What else was I going to talk about? Sorry. I had a different thought, and then you went a different direction.
About the episode?
Yeah, about the episode.
John, Samwell, Daenerys, Sansa, Cersei, Euron, Yara, Theon. I'm just trying to jog memory with some names.
Those are all great baby names.
Ugh.
Yep, everyone will be naming their babies that in like 2 years. You just watch. If they're not already. They probably are already.
What's funny is the show and the books, I guess the books actually, they have these crazy names like Sansa, Cersei, Clegane, and then they have Jaime.
I know.
And John.
Yeah.
Like, there's almost going to be a Sally coming into this fold sometime.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a.
Hey, what's up, Chuck?
Yeah.
I'm Chuck Stark.
Yeah, that would be weird.
Bobby.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I don't know. That's kind of the episode in a nutshell, I'd say. I liked it. I thought it was good pace. I thought it was, you know, had some ass kicking, had some surprise.
Yep.
I see the teaser for next episode. They got Jaime on trial, it looks like.
Oh.
Because remember, Daenerys is like, you know, my brother told me stories of the man who killed our father, and we swore we'd kill him when we see him.
Huh. Is it going to be trial by combat? Because they seem to do that everywhere.
I don't think so. I think the Bran thing's going to factor in. I think it's going to look bad for Jaime, but then Bran's going to come in and say, and everybody knows that Jaime threw Bran out the window.
Everybody knows that?
I think so.
Oh.
I think Bran probably mentioned it to somebody, I would think.
Huh.
But regardless, I think Bran's going to come in and say, and even if they don't know that, he's the, you know, the psychic weirdo Jersey Shore medium of Game of Thrones. So he's going to tell them, no, don't. We can't kill him. You know, we need him.
Why?
I don't know.
Why would they need him?
Maybe only Bran knows that, Jody.
Oh, well, why would he say so?
What if instead of his eyes rolling back of his head, he just cross-eyed?
that would just be silly.
It's a fine line between like, oh my God, deep, crazy, weird, psychic, whatever, and a goofy, you know, 1950s sitcom moment.
Yeah.
Jack from Three's Company getting cross-eyed on Mr. Roper.
That would be weird.
Weird.
Oh, I know what else I was going to discuss with the episode.
Too late. Show's over. No, good night, everybody.
No. What? No. Seriously?
No.
We probably don't even have that much.
Seriously, that's a Game of Thrones character name.
It might be.
What Lady Glitter
Sparkles, seriously?
What were you going to say?
I know John's true birth, you know, thing and his bloodline, but I was truly surprised that he got to ride the dragon. And I thought, oh no, this is like letting the dude drive the Ferrari. Like, he's hooked. He's all in now. Like, there's no going back for him. He's going to be so pussy whipped now.
You know, it's, so you think he's, I don't think so.
That was another piece of humor, since you pointed out the kind of the humor factor when Daenerys was like, well, no one ever knows how to ride a dragon until they rode a dragon.
And he's like, you ruin horses for me.
Yeah.
That part, I don't want to say it bothered me a little bit, but it was a little inconsistent with Jon Snow's character. I mean, think about Jon Snow. He's fearless, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, he there's that shot of the Battle of the Bastards.
Yeah.
When he stood in front of this oncoming army and pulls out his sword and he's by himself and he's ready to go at it.
Yeah.
And so he's led these guys into the White Walker north beyond the wall.
Sure.
You know, he's fought countless people and kicked ass. But all of a sudden he's afraid of a dragon, you know?
Yeah, but stuff happens to dudes when they get all deep into the pussy whip.
Yeah, I guess so. Or like that's his... That's like his, you know, afraid of spiders thing.
Oh, like he has one phobia and that's
it? Yeah, you know, like, you know, there's the big brute beefcake guy who's huge, who kicks ass, but, you know, he sees a little tiny daddy long legs. He's like, ah! And he tucks his tail between his legs and pisses his pants.
I mean, like, I think he's seen what the dragons can do.
And there's that.
And that they're ruthless. And she's also kind of painted that picture. He's like, you know, they're like, what do dragons even eat? Whatever they want, you know, and so they could eat him at any moment. And so there is some trepidation and fear there, but I don't know. I think that changed everything. It was a little like kind of like annoying, like, oh, they're going, it's like on Aladdin when they go on the magic carpet ride, or on Anchorman when they ride the, the horses over the rainbow.
On the show, I did the, I played that moment. And I played Herman's Hermit. Something tells me I'm into something good.
Yeah.
What's funny is later on, Ryan comes in the studio, who does middays at the radio station. And he said, we quickly talked about it. He's like, was it me or was when they're riding the dragons, you were thinking of Beach Boys, you know, Good Vibrations. And I was like, oh, that's so funny you mentioned that, because I did the Herman's Hermits thing.
Yeah.
And then we made out.
Yeah, it's totally like, you know, you let him drive the Tomcat fighter jet and he's all in now.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to be like the thing. It's probably pretty cool, but it's probably like driving a Ferrari and it's really awesome and cool and neat. I'd love to do it, but, you know, it comes down to it. I'm going to lose my house to get a Ferrari. Nah, I don't need that, you know? I don't need a guy.
Well, I hope he makes the right choice. I mean, it's interesting. The girls were both, you know, kind of like pushing family first. Like, Arya kind of gave him that hug and like, don't forget it, like that you're part of this family.
Right.
I don't care how awesome and beautiful she is and that she has dragons, you know. It's like the rich girlfriend that has everything and buys you lots of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well,
she's still bitchy.
Yeah.
Wrong, brother. Don't do it. You know.
Any chance Daenerys like crosses Jon Snow?
Ooh.
I don't think so, right? She seems pretty morally what's the word I'm looking for?
Kind
anchored.
Just, yeah, kind of.
Like she's not that type. Like she definitely thinks she's queen and it's her birthright.
No, but I think if he has to make a choice between her and the greater good or his people or his family, I think that that might be, you know, kind of a lover's scorn situation.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
She's really big into loyalty and I know that's like a sticking point for Sansa. Like, you bent the knee to her. She's the queen, but what are you now? You know? Like, you just put your balls in her purse.
But I think if they beat, you know, the White Walkers, the Night King, etc., and they're both still alive, I think, and then you present that information. I don't know when they're going to tell Daenerys, but you tell her, like, look, Jon's, here's the sitch. He's the real one true king. I think she probably says, this motherfucker led us into battle and beat these dead assholes. He's the king. And, you know, she'll bend the knee.
Hmm.
She'll probably be disappointed. She'll probably go in the corner and cry a little bit. Maybe go eat a tub of ice cream. Or as they call it in Game of Thrones, frozen sweetness. Anyway.
Or she loves him anyway and she wants to have like 10,000 of his babies.
You got like 10,000 of his babies. Let's wrap up the Game of Thrones.
All right.
I want to get to Killing Eve a little bit.
Okay.
You got any other thoughts on Game of Thrones?
No, I'm just excited to see how it all plays out.
Totally. I'm bummed there's only 6 episodes.
Yeah, but they're going to do a lot in those 6, though, I think. Don't you?
I don't know. I mean, they didn't waste much time in this one, in episode 1.
Getting right to.
It was pretty meaty, and there wasn't any really lull moments. That being said, I hope they have a couple of these episodes are like an hour and a half.
Oh, can we talk about our favorite extra in the show?
What do you want to call it? What's up with that person? Or
no, I forgot what I called it. Who's that dude? Or who's that?
Who's chick? That dude? Okay.
Or it could be a chick.
All right. Who's that dude?
It's like the unsung extra actor that doesn't have any lines. You don't know who they are, but sometimes they can make all the difference in the world. And mine goes out to that lady glaring at Daenerys as she came into town, you know, in the parade. And the townspeople are kind of like, I don't know about this hussy. And she had that total look on her face. It's just like, She nailed it. She's standing there off to the side and no lines, no words, but her face says it all. Like,
that's good acting.
Yeah, like, who the hell is this bitch? It's great.
I don't know if I have an extra that really stood out for me.
Yeah.
With the, like, the 10-year-old lord of Gundry or Hearth or whatever.
Sure.
I mean, he
had speaking lines, so, but only a couple. Yeah. So I guess, I mean, it's the first time we've like met this character.
Yeah. It's not like he's a main character.
He's not a major player.
I mean, you could say an extra is a waiter says, here's your breadsticks.
Right. Yeah. I'll give you that one. I think that counts. But yeah, that was an interesting.
Just because I can't think of like an extra, you know, like somebody. Mm-hmm. Super non-consequential, not very prominent.
Sure.
I'm going to go with that guy, that kid, just because, you know, they did a lot with, is it Lyanna Mormont? You know, the little girl who's the lady
yes.
of some.
Yeah.
Like, she's a badass now. She's kind of like, she's got a voice at the table. So they kind of like mention this kid and he pops up between two adults like, oh, that's me.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, he's going to be the next Lady Mormont.
Yeah.
And there he is, stuck on a wall. He's turned into a zombie with some severed limbs and a swirl pattern around him.
Yeah, was that
and lit on fire?
Was that a significant symbol? I meant to ask you that. Like, I thought we'd seen that before somewhere, or maybe Bran saw that somewhere.
I don't know.
I don't know either. I thought maybe that symbol had significance, or someone had seen that pattern before.
I want to say that might have been visible when they showed the Night King and he turned the one baby into a White Walk or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that symbol was there somewhere in that little chamber or, you know, area that he did that.
Okay.
That's just my guess.
Okay.
All right, so we'll talk about Game of Thrones Episode 2 next week.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Killing Eve for just a little bit.
Okay.
And so we're in Season 2 of Killing Eve, just finished Episode 2.
Okay.
And I don't know what it is about this show. I love Killing Eve.
Yeah.
Like, it's so good.
It is good.
It's not Game of Thrones good. It's different good.
Yeah.
It's satisfying.
I think they do a really, really good job of intensifying tension in that show. And then there's some humor and some levity and some character building in there, too.
You know what I think I like about it is it's blown out a lot of the norms and stereotypes and tropes you expect from kind of a spy versus spy type of situation, you know, like Villanelle, you expect, I mean, if you don't watch a show, you say, well, it's about an MI6 employee who becomes fascinated with catching this female spy.
Sure.
You think the female spy is going to be like, well, the documents, right. I'm going, or I kill you. Or she's like wearing the black tight bob wig. And the super sexy eyeliner and the slim dress comes up to the guy and flirts with him a little bit and then pulls out the silencer and shoots him. It's not that at all.
Yeah.
Like, Villanelle is kind of a doofy, kind of a woman baby.
Yeah.
You know, she's almost like a child in a way.
She's very childlike, yeah.
Yeah, she's playful and silly. She's really good at her job.
Sure.
But it just kind of breaks all those stereotypes and norms that you expect.
I like how it's more kind of, it kind of dives in a little bit, touches upon it, I guess, with the kind of criminal psychology of her and who she is. She is a psychopath, you know?
Yeah.
She's not just a trained hired gun who, you know, they beat into submission, into killing for them. She is truly probably born evil and stayed childlike. And so it kind of delves into that fascination with that criminal mind, like what makes her a ruthless killer and be able to do this without any seemingly any detriment to her own kind of psyche, you know?
Yeah.
Because you see some of those, like, you know, like Jason Bourne, like, eventually killing people got to him. He wanted out, you know?
Yeah.
There, you see that in spy movies all the time. Like, I've been killing people for a long time. I want out. Here's my way out. I'm going to fight and claw my way out. I got to get out, you know?
Or if they don't want to get out, they're played as almost a cartoon.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think of James Bond and like Goldfinger and, you know, those characters. It's like, I want world domination. I don't care. And I kill and I kill. Like, that's not normal.
Sure.
I think this is more normal and real.
Yeah.
Where she's damaged goods.
Yeah.
And somebody along the way found those damaged goods and turned it to their advantage.
Sure.
Ergo, you know, assassinating.
Well, and I love too, like, you mentioned kind of cartoony caricature of a spy. It doesn't rely heavily on cool gadgets and high tech and things like that. I mean, the show does a good job with the actual killings of basically, like, she finds cunning ways to hide in plain sight.
Right.
You know, she integrates these people's lives and, you know, and her ruthlessness along the way, you know, this episode happened to show her, you know, killing the boy in the hospital that helped her
to
get out of the hospital. And I was like, whoa, that person is really messed up.
And that surprised me, too. And it was very much soon after she did it, I was like, oh, then I was like, well, that's kind of what she does.
Yeah. Like,
I'm not surprised anymore.
Sure.
It was never like a resounding stain with me, like, how could she do that? Oh my God, he was so nice to her. But sure, he's just a kid.
Yeah.
No, that's what psychopaths do.
Yeah, totally. It's no longer a assassin who needs to get out of the situation and will kill anybody that gets in the way of that. It was this person's helping you and you killed them anyway. Like, wow, okay. So it was kind of a shift for me.
Yeah.
In the character.
Yeah, but the show is good in that, what's her name? Who's the lead on that?
Sandra Oh.
She's really good.
Her character, I always thought her name.
Huh?
Eve Pilastri.
Yeah, yeah. But I met the actress.
Sandra Oh.
She's really good in this. And it's weird because I've always thought she was one of those over actors.
Really?
Like everything has to be kind of cranked up a little bit.
Yeah.
Every line.
Sure.
But she's really delivering some kind of believability and subtlety, I think.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, you got great acting, the good writing. There's a little bit of suspense, action.
Well, and there's some intrigue there. Like, I can't quite figure her out. You know, there's this infatuation with Villanelle and maybe even possibly love. Like, I think their interest in each other is kind of this tangled mess that
it
hasn't quite revealed what that is yet, you know, and in seeing that character, I think basically like she's just an IT person, right? That works within the organization, but she's quickly escalated to,
I don't know. I think
tracking this person.
I think they were actually, you know, when they started the series, she was, you know, she had that partner, Bill, I think is his name, you know, the guy who got stabbed in the club.
Yes.
I don't think they were like, you know, gumshoes who, you know, carried a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they were like, you know,
sit at a computer and track people.
I think it was more like kind of research and building, getting information and
profiling.
Maybe stuff like that. I think it's not quite nerd stuff, not quite James Bond stuff.
Okay. Well, maybe I'm getting that confused. I thought that was kind of the cover story of her and like what she would tell her husband is like, I'm just an IT person. I really don't do anything dangerous. I don't, you know.
I don't know.
And now all of a sudden, like, she's having all this trauma and she can't tell him about stuff. And so I think, like, that relationship and kind of, she's kind of changing as a person within that relationship. I think that will be interesting to see that whole thing play out.
Yeah. I the relationship between her, Eve and Villanelle is interesting and very, what's the word I'm looking for? Shifting, moving.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like at one point you think she wants to fuck her.
Yeah.
And she wants to fuck her.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's necessarily the case with that. Because remember when she was in Eve's apartment and, like, there was really no, I don't want to say love.
Yeah.
But there was no, like, tell me about you. It was like, Eve was very much defensive and like, you need to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Now. I am very uncomfortable and I don't like you here.
Yeah.
And maybe that's some other motivation, like, you know. She's afraid her husband's going to come home and she's going to kill her husband. But then they, like, you know, they had the little throwdown in Villanelle's apartment in Paris.
Right.
And it was almost like there was like a love thing going on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think like maybe the tension of her entering her apartment was for her own personal safety. Like, you have invaded my home space now. You know where I live, you know, and that's just, you're a trained killer. You're an assassin for the other guys. And now you're in my space and get the fuck out, you know. But I do think that once they were in Paris together, it was a little bit more than that. And the thing with that, I can't tell if like it they truly do care for each other or it's just a fascination because it's like, the bad thing that you're not supposed to touch, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, or it's they are my equal.
Yeah.
They are my equal on the other side.
Yeah, like she thinks how I think, but that helps her track her and that helps her find her, I think. And I think that's why her MI6 boss lady with the short kind of red hair.
Yeah.
I think that's why she keeps bringing her in on this stuff, is because she does think a lot like her. Like she knows the inside workings of
a psychopath.
Kind of her mind. Yeah.
And a narcissist.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, that could be. No, it's a unique show, and it's fascinating. And I don't think I've seen a character like the Villanelle character ever before.
Sure.
You know, it's just when you think you got her pegged down, there's something different about her.
Yeah.
Changes something up.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think I think a lot of that has to do with the acting, that Jody, what's her name?
Yeah, I don't
know. She stole your name.
Yeah.
I think she even has an E on it, too.
I think so, too. I think she spells it like me.
You should write her and say, we have the same name. Are we best friends now?
Comer. Is that how you say it?
That sounds right.
Comer.
So, Killing Eve episode 2.
She's fantastic.
She is. She is good.
The supporting characters are as well. Her handler is good, you know.
The lady?
It was the kind of round bearded...
Oh, Villanelle's handler.
Yeah, Villanelle's handler.
Yeah.
And then her new handler. She got a new handler this week in this week's episode.
Oh, yeah.
And even those characters are just great. Like,
That was an interesting introduction.
Yeah.
Her new handler. It's almost like, yeah, I'm not the guy you were with before.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so not that. I will bust your face against the window of this car.
Yeah, like he treated you like he's your papa and he loves you and he spoiled you and you had a loose leash and now I'm here and guess what? I'm yanking that chain.
Yeah,
you rabid dog.
He literally said shorter leash now.
Yeah.
So Killing Eve, episode 3, we'll chat on that next week probably. I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see what we have time for with our kids and stuff.
I know.
In our life.
Been putting this off for all of 6 months, maybe.
Well, yep.
Due to technical difficulties.
Uh-huh.
And, oh yeah, a fucking life.
Yeah.
That's going to do it for us this week. We'll be back next week with more of the Married with Channels podcast. A married couple talking about TV.
Maybe we'll fight. Or love. Or supporting role, at least.
What the fuck are you talking
about? I don't know.
Silly. I love you.
I love you. I like watching TV with you.
Show me them titties.
No! I don't do nudity.